We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
That's definitely.
This game gets really fucking weird.
So you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap.
10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha-la-la-la-la-la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God. It's just...
Are You Ready by AC/DC? I wish music licensing was free so we could just like play a random song on every opening for this.
That would be so good.
I want. What's the rule? It's like 3 or 4 or 7 seconds.
I think it's like 7 seconds.
What if we get like 3 songs and each one by 7 seconds and melted them together? Is that allowed or is that illegal? I wonder.
Just make the 7 second song. It's 7 songs however many songs, 7 seconds of each song, and make a song.
Probably
out 30 of that
seconds.
Song.
We get 4 songs, the 4 very end. We could always choose like whatever at the top 4 songs on the chart every week.
There we go. So we're going to have golden every fucking week for the next 800 weeks.
Yep. We're going to be the best podcast out there. I don't know what this is. I listen to good
K-pop
music,
Demon Hunters. You haven't seen that shit yet?
No,
get on that shit.
Music, so it's hard.
No, it's a movie. It's a Netflix movie.
Yes,
it's fucking
I know what it is. I know what it is. Every person in the world is saying, oh my God, you should watch this movie because everybody else watched it and likes it. And I get it. Eventually, I'll watch the movie.
Yeah.
Today is not that day, however.
I didn't think it was.
Now is not the time. Welcome
now
back,
everybody.
Now
is not the time. We're talking about video games, motherfuckers. Let's go.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Steven.
The motherfucker.
And we are Soul of a
Gamer.
Games.
Well, wow. Yeah. He interrupted me. We are Soul of a Gamer podcast. Each week, we either do a hot takes or we play a game and we tell you about it. We did promise you that we were going to do Undertale this week. However,
yes.
I do not have the time right now. So we are doing some hot takes until I have the time. Mm-hmm. So, we hope you enjoyed our last week's hot takes. That was a lot of fun for us. Can't remember what it is. Don't care what it is. We're not going to look it up. But it was a lot of fun, I'm sure. We normally don't do this for our hot takes, but I really want to do this week because I've been playing this awesome game recently, and it's fucking wild. And I'm so excited to jump back into it.
What the fuck are we playing?
Yes. And like this game is just so fucking cool. Like this game
is... I'm down, honestly. I got one too.
Yeah, this one is fucking, like, I didn't know they did this in the early 2000s. I can't believe that these people made this game and it turned out as good as it did. It's got a really fucking long name. Botan Kaitos, The Eternal Wings of Something, Something, Something. It's probably 9 or 10 words. Yeah, it's like 10 or they remastered it for Switch a few years ago, I guess. I didn't know that because I'm emulating it, which is much better. But it's a fucking weird ass game. So it takes your current clock into a lot of like it's kind of like the original Animal Crossing. It's taking your clock as a very good means of keeping track of time. So in Animal Crossing, you could change your clock and then that little mole dude would come out and yell at you. And say, hey, don't change your fucking clock, asshole. This is not cool. You can't keep doing this. And then that's all he'd do.
Okay.
Just an empty threat to make people not cheat and make it be your birthday every 5 minutes so you can get $1,000 for mom.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. But in this one, the time is so much more serious. Like, so you can capture the essence of shit in these cards. And say you have a seed and you hold on to it for 3 hours. Well, now that seed has turned into a bud, right? And then if you hold on to it for 10 hours, it's now a full-grown flower. And then, like, same things with other stuff. I read online one thing. It's for, like, the best items in the game. And you have to hold on to these posters for a total of 80 hours.
Okay.
In game time, real time.
Jesus, that's ridiculous. Real time,
80 hours. Yeah.
Okay.
So like, okay, well, a lot like of people just leave. Yeah, leave their game on for four fucking days and yeah. let it go because yeah. it reads and you know I'm playing it on the computer, so I can't just change my clock that way. But
yeah, that's ridiculous. But
it tracks like seconds in the game, so you can't just like change the clock and then fucking go back in and expect it to be this new time or anything. It's how long you've been playing the game, which I think is crazy. So they have things like that.
Clock ticking while you're playing. You can't change yep. the clock to advance the time.
Yeah. That's and like, crazy. it's so like, and that part is crazy, but the crazier part is how interesting the fucking cards are as you let them age. Like I got a bamboo shoot. And it healed me, right? That was the bamboo shoot. And then the bamboo shoot turned into a bamboo rod, which now I can attack with. And then at the end of its life cycle, it's a bamboo fishing pole. And I don't know for sure. I keep getting these rotten foods in my inventory. So I think the fishing pole eventually rots out. Isn't that fucking weird? And then you have these combos you can make. So... It's an RPG with the cards, so you're constantly leveling up, and you can make cards by playing cards. So right now, I tried one where I had a rice wine and a low elemental fire ability. And if you use those two in the same set, it creates lukewarm wine, which is an additional card you get just okay. on the side. And it has kind of, they always like kind of combine effects a little bit. Although that one, I think, just cures freezing and then gives you resistance to freezing. So there's stuff like that. It's like, it's fucking crazy. Like, it is insane how fucking intricate this is.
So is it like a deck building game? Is it like a roguelike? What kind of style of game is it?
It's actually turn-based RPG, kind of deck building game, kind of. But you're also leveling up your personal character. You do have attack stats still, so your card values actually go up based on your level. There are clearly better and worse cards. And on top of that, it has a collection aspect to it. There's all these combos you can do that are pretty much hidden unless you're doing what I do. I'm not going to try to figure out all these fucking combos. I'm just going to use a guide to get them all. Yeah. I mean, this game already. So again, the biggest thing in the game is you have to hold onto these posters for 80 hours and they turn into something really cool. And you trade those in to get like the best items in the game. And you have to do that twice. So that's 160 hours you have to spend playing this fucking game, right? So this game is already long enough. I think that's the point, is there's so many combos because you're playing this game for like 400 or 500 hours.
That's insane. You're so right, but it forces a grind, like an extreme grind of just
and it does PC, but on. It's fucking cool too. It's like you can get any item, and it can turn into another item, and you're like, oh shit, I didn't know it was gonna turn into this. This is so cool. This flower turned into a fucking sword. That's sweet.
The game that the electric companies made to keep your electricity running for weeks on end.
Yeah, but I will. It's by the same people who made Xenoblade Chronicles.
Oh, okay.
So this was their first foray into a big like action RPG, and they did a phenomenal job on this game. There's two of them. There's this one, and then Baten Kaitos Origins, I believe, and I think Origins is before this story. You learn like why some of the bad guys are bad guys, I guess. But it's a fucking cool game. Guys, if you haven't played it, I would highly recommend going out and playing it. It's really, I don't think it's a game we'll ever jump into on the podcast just because of
how long it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. You would have to play this game and then talk about it after playing it for, I don't know, 6-7 years.
Yeah. We at least like to be able to get through like half the game within a week's time or so, or 2 weeks' time. For us to be able to do the podcast, like we want to put 10 to 20 hours, five if it's only like a 10 hour game maybe, but at least get halfway through the game before during a review. So on these games that are 400 hours, we're not gonna do that shit.
Yeah, no way. This one it's fucking amazing though. Like seriously, I would recommend everyone, including you, Steven, go out and play it. Okay. You'd like it. Emulate it though, don't buy it on Switch. Don't waste your money with Nintendo.
Fair. That's a fair thing right now. But yeah, for me, the game I've been actually playing a lot this week is actually Plucky Squire.
Plucky Squire?
Plucky Squire. It's a very...
Is he a squire who's very plucky?
He is very plucky, yes.
Okay.
his name's
I'm
Jot.
Picking up what he's putting down.
This is a very meta game. It's very like, it's an easy kind of game that anyone could probably 100% on your first playthrough of the game. But it's one of those games. It's a game that's inside of a storybook, but then the villain of the storybook realizes he's in a storybook by finding a ritual textbook inside of a mountain that says that this is a storybook. And then he decides that he's going to break out of the storybook.
When did this game come out?
Just a couple years ago.
Damn it. So you're saying that Expedition 33 stole their idea?
I think it was Plucky. It was around the same time. I don't know.
Well, you said a couple years. Expedition just came out like last year, I think. So if that came out in 2023, Expedition 33. I mean, it's not like that concept hasn't been around for literally ever. Right, like
Lucky Squire
character
came out 2024, so last year.
Okay, so yeah, they probably came out around the same time.
Yeah,
like Deadpool. I mean, he's been the third or fourth wall breaker for decades.
Yeah. So yeah, for sure. This game is really kind of fun, though. It's kind of like it actually plays a lot like a Zelda game. It's kind of got puzzles like a Zelda game, but like you actually can like hit the text in the sentences of the book. And you could pick them up and rearrange them to switch the things in the story. You could also jump out of the book and switch pages and grab things from other pages, like go back to the past and grab an item. So it's kind of like a link between worlds in a lot of way. It's so fucking cool. And the humor is actually really meta and pretty funny. Like I just got to a section like probably halfway through the game where the wizard and this girl are talking and the girl's like, so you're telling us that we're like characters in this book. But the guy who wrote this book, Sam, he's like a real person. So there's real people out there. And he's like, well, we're all real in our own relative terms. You know, like they're real to themselves and we're real to ourselves. We're all real in our own ways.
Everyone's real here.
And he's like, oh, and actually, I think I can make a couple of people, maybe one or two people out right now. And then he like turns towards the camera and actually waves to you. And he's like, hello there. He's like, I don't know who you are. But I feel like you're supporting us. So I want to say thank you for that.
Fucking weird. Okay.
It's so meta, but it's got like a lot of charm and a lot of humor. And it plays a lot like a Zelda game. And it goes from 2D to 3D. And it feels like Mario Galaxy mixed with Zelda Between Worlds. And it's so fun and inventive. And it's cheesy and cute. But it's like really child friendly too. Like anybody could play this game really easily. Like it's not a hard game by any means, but it's a good play.
All right, I'll check it out. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right, well, we're gonna get into what our hot takes are this week.
Yes.
What are we doing?
Microtransactions and AI companions, two very, dude, very hot topics.
Dude, that is not what you told me we were doing.
Yeah, I did.
You said we were doing the Dance of the Fire Lily people and pornos that should be available to children. Now, I thought those were very controversial. I thought they were controversial, but you insisted on these two things. So I don't know what the hell is wrong with you. And in fact, for that second one, we were going to have a serious conversation. I got actual help. You don't know this, but right outside your door right now is like an entire group of people.
Oh, dude, for one of those,
what are they called when you surprise people to figure out their addictions?
Whole
TV show was based on it, man. They're outside your door right now.
Why can't I think of that either? That is.
I'm trying to tell you, go answer your front door, motherfucker.
Okay. Yes. everyone, if you can wait outside real quick, we got a podcast to record. But then I will talk to you about my problem that I apparently have because it's a serious, serious fucking problem. They said they'll wait.
All right, guys, we are actually doing microtransactions and AI
companions.
Would you call them companions? Yeah, I guess companions is a good word.
I wanted to say AI companions because there is a lot of AI stuff in games that's not... and this is another whole topic. We could do a whole hot topics just on AI itself. Because like so many people right now are just against it completely. But then you're like, okay, but Alien Isolation wouldn't even work if it didn't have the AI mechanics that it has to seek you out as a character in the game. And it wouldn't be able to scare you the way it would if it didn't have AI. So not all AI is terrible, but AI that steals from creators is. Yeah. AI that steals jobs is. But that's not to say that every AI recommendation or usage is stealing jobs or is maliciously harming people.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's start with microtransactions. What you got to say about microtransactions?
So I have to say that they are both good and bad. I know that's also partially a hot take, but I think they have their usages. And when done right, I'm okay with them full-heartedly. I have spent way too much money in certain video games. I was just talking to Scott about this. I have spent over $3,000 in a free-to-play game, Smite. That's over the course of 10, 11, 12 years now. That's not, of course, of like a small portion of time or anything, but it is a huge amount of money that when I tell people that, they usually look at me like, what the fuck, you freak?
You're spending money on free things? Commie.
Well, spending money on free things, but I'm also spending money only on cosmetic-only purchases that make no difference to the game or the gameplay whatsoever. They don't give me an edge creatively or for the game or any impact. It's literally just to support the company that I love, and I think it just looks cool.
Yeah, all right, fair. You know, my thing about microtransactions is I think there is a place for them. I think in certain games, it's awesome. But I also think they get abused so much.
Oh, it's so easy to abuse microtransactions.
Yeah, you could be playing like a phone game and they could start their microtransactions by saying, hey, you know, for 20 cents, we'll give you these five things. And you're like, oh, you know what? I can spend 20 cents.
Yeah.
And then they up it to a dollar and you're like, a dollar's still not too bad.
Yeah.
But within a year, you're almost guaranteed those fuckers are going to up that shit to $20 purchases.
Like, and then almost they keep enticing you with like $50, $100 purchases as well. And
yeah.
Like, if you buy this, you'll get so much extra shit.
And they're, you know, they're not marketing to adults. They're marketing to fucking children who don't know that value of $100, what it means to their parents, because they're likely not paying for it out of their own fucking pocket. Like, but, and if they were, then they're literally taking money from fucking children. So there's a good way and a bad way to do it. And I think a lot of companies tend to do it the bad way.
And the thing that sucks with a lot of phone game microtransactions is a lot of those are to better your successes in the game.
Yeah.
Or give you more chances to be better. So spending money does improve the game and make the game better. And you almost in some games have to spend money or you're going to take a year to do what people do in 3 months if they're willing to spend $100 a month.
Yeah. So our buddy, he played one of those phone games, trying to Star Wars, one of the Star Wars games. Can't remember what it was called.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like Summoner's War and all those other
games. So he played one of those, and they had a deal in where you could unlock all the characters, like you get future characters too, for $100, and you get them all at like a certain level cap, right? And that's a crazy deal, you know, and that. Yes, but it's $100. It's a lot of fucking money.
It is.
And to be fair, if he were to do that naturally, if he were to go in and say, okay, well, I'm going to wait on this and just try to do it within my own time frame, it'll probably take him around a year or two.
Oh, you know? 100%. Yeah.
Based on the speed of games, how much time you can put into them. So, like, it almost seems worth it to do that. But at the same time, then the people who did work on that for a year or two, doesn't that belittle their time a little bit? Because they're essentially saying you could make a new account and you could just fucking get up to speed and you get in a new arena because the arenas are reset when you make a new account and you don't have to work as hard and you could be at the same spot you are now.
True.
And to me, it's just like those are the deals that kill me because I'm like, okay, well, why wouldn't you take that deal if you had an extra $100 to blow? But also, why the fuck are you spending $100 on the first day you're playing a free game, you know?
Yeah. Which I again,
that's day one. That's not day 20. That's day fucking one.
Yeah, that's another thing that I have to give Smite, a game that we've both played quite a bit of. But for Smite, they also had a package that you could do where you could
get all the gods.
Buy the game, buy all gods and all future gods. And it's $30 normally. But if you bought it on Smite's birthday, which they had a week celebration every year, it was on sale for $15 every single year.
I think when we first bought it 10 years ago, it was not $30. I think it was $20.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it got raised to $30 at some point. But it was also when it was up to 130, 120, 130 gods. Like, that's a lot of fucking gods.
When we were playing, it was almost like right when that game came out. So
yes. So there's like 20 or 30 or something like that.
And like, and to be fair, we also did that thing. We made that decision within the first like couple days of playing the game without actually knowing if we're going to keep playing it. But we liked it enough to say, you know what? We're probably going to keep playing it for a little while. This is probably worth $30.
Yes. So, and like we were talking about this, this is the other thing that we talked about is the amount of time you put into a game is also dependent on how much like money you spend.
Everything.
So, like, I have 137 days, 21 hours, and 41 minutes in this Smite. And that's just Xbox time, not PC time.
How many seconds is that?
I don't know how about seconds, but that's 3,310 hours.
You better figure that out right now, motherfucker.
It's a little less than 3,310
Multiply
hours.
That by 60, and then multiply that next thing by 60, and I think you get the seconds. I think I'm pretty sure that's how you get the seconds on that. I hope it's like 3 trillion 60. Seconds.
Times 60.
Come on.
11,916,000 seconds.
It's only 11 million seconds.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, that's not a lot of it's not a lot of time.
I mean, it's almost
not even close to a trillion.
I mean, it's a little over a third of a year. Of time just in one video game over the span of 10 years, but
okay, that's fair. So yeah, you know, and that's just it, you know, when you start a game, if you're going to be playing it for a while,
yeah,
normally within the first couple days, if you're not bored by then, that's when I'd say maybe think about microtransactions if you really want to support the company.
Yeah,
but also be aware, like, honestly, there's a lot of shit companies out there right now who we'll start you with this like $1 deal and quickly raise that to $50 deals because that's like they're just trying to get your money. They don't care about your enjoyment. They just want money. And then you'll soon find that there are a bunch of flaws in their stupid fucking games. You know, PUBG was one of those games.
They
really wanted people in there and they went without microtransactions pretty early on, pretty hard. And then now it's just fucking unrecognizable from when you first got it. But now it's like you can't get into the game without already spending $50 for all the cosmetic shit because everyone will call you a fucking loser.
I mean, fair. I will say the free-to-play games are a little bit harder for me to argue than the games that are full-price $70, $80 true. Games that have microtransactions because that just feels extremely greedy to me. Like, and especially in like games like Madden Ultimate Team and stuff like that, that's very pay-to-win.
Yeah,
because it takes so long to grind the challenges, but then like if you could just pay 10, 15 bucks a week on buying packs, you can actually get a lot of your stuff and you can get a lot of your team. You can get your team from a 65 rating to a 90 rating if you're willing to spend like $30 in the game.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it doesn't sound like a lot, 10, 15 bucks a week, but honestly, it is, you know,
that adds up
super fast. And then don't just think about you. Think about the 3,000 other people who are paying that. You know, you are filling these people who don't need this money, filling their pockets like crazy. And even if you enjoy that game, I would say step back. Ask yourself, am I winning because I'm good or am I winning because I pay too much money for shit? And if it's answer B, I would say that you should stop paying for that.
Oh my gosh. Like, speaking of that story, I had a boss back in the day. My dad and I and my brothers, we all got really into phone games. And then my old roofing boss, he did the same thing. And he got into the same games that we got into, but he was one of those people because he made $250,000 every year that when he'd get into the same game that we got into, especially if it was like a Clash of Clans or something, I don't know how, like, me grinding for 2 years, not paying for a single thing in the game, or maybe spending $5 every few months or something like that. Like, I felt like I was really far in the game. He caught up to me in 2 months' time because he spent, I think, $2,500 in the first 2 months. And then he ended up spending another $6,000 later and becoming, like, part of this giant, like, successful guild and everything. But everyone in the guild pretty much spent like $2,000.
A whale. Yeah.
And I was like, what the? Why?
And here's the thing about that, too. And this is where a lot of people don't understand. you're right. Most of those people are already well off and can afford it. And yeah. Good for them. You know, they're doing well enough that $5 for them or $1,000 for them is like $10 for us, you know?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Which is great. Awesome for them. Nothing against people having money. But what a lot of these people also get, there are people who say, I spend this much money in the game, and it turns out they're just plants. Right, they're planted by the game owners to say, no, spending this much money is good. It'll get you this and that and this and that. And that's the other thing. They're very mischievous. And there's no proof of this, but they have seen like the bots come out and they're like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, this guy's for sure a bot. And the bot is trying to bid for shit that normal people don't want, but making it like super valuable for some reason. You'll see that on those dumb sites. God, I heard about these years ago where they had like the site where you could pay $1 for a PlayStation or something.
Oh, geez.
And it was like, it's one of those auction sites, you know, the same thing. They have bots in there to start a price at $1 and then quickly get it up to as near as the price that they bought it for as they can, you know? And that's just what they do in these games, too. They put bots in, they hire people, play the game, act like you spend a bunch of money. We'll just give you a bunch of shit and then we'll tell you what to say and make it look like spending money is the way to play these games. Yeah, it's just, it's really cheesy and really fucking like disheartening to hear, because I don't feel like people should be paying this much money for games at all.
Yeah, and this is where it gets like really dangerous for me, because like a lot of the times if you're paying for these full price games and then having to pay to win, it gets really gross, it gets really dangerous, it gets really way too competitive, it gets real toxic super fast. Whereas if you're just having like free-to-play games that are cosmetic-only purchases, like, I will never get mad at any video game that has a cosmetic-only purchase, because that is only for the person who wants their shit to look like a different character or their gun to look like a different color or anything. Like, and even that can get egregious sometimes. Like, I don't know if you heard about Dead or Alive 6's cosmetic purchases. It is one of the most egregious. They have over, I think it was over 1,000 items for sale that are microtransactions in that game.
Nice.
And to buy them all, it was some obscene amount of money. It was tens of thousands of dollars. And the stupidest part of it was to even change your character's hair color would cost you, I think it was just $2. But you couldn't change it back to the original hair color you had. You had to pay another $2 to switch it back.
Oh my God.
Like, that's how egregious.
Even selling games, like, at this point. Yes. Why not just make all games free and then really dive into the microtransactions? Why even sell them for prices? You know, like, what is the fucking point if all you're going to do is micro?
That's my thing. It's like, how dare you have a price point and then sell so much afterwards? Like, if you are going to have all these microtransactions and you know you're going to make all this money back, make the game free to play. We've seen so many successful free to play games, and they're successful because that's exactly what they are. It's free to get into. And anything that has the bar at free to get into is already going to have a bigger crowd that's able to access and join that. And people might get hooked from that point. Like, it took me playing a couple of games with you to get really hooked into Smite to the point that it became my obsession of mine for fucking years. I watched every pro match for 7 years straight.
And now you're still recovering from it.
Dude, Smite 2 not having Pro League right now is fucking killing me.
I'm surprised they still haven't come out with it.
Well, they fucking canceled it, and I they started doing some tournaments recently, and I was like, should I watch just like the public access tournaments? I'm like, no, Steve, don't get into it until they do Pro League shit. You're not supporting it until they get Pro League shit.
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, a lot of these games too, like, and this is the big thing Steven already mentioned, like the pay games. Like, back in the day when Steven and I were growing up, we would play games like Halo 2. Halo 2 did technically have microtransactions where when they'd have a new map pack come out, you would buy the map pack.
That's and fine. Map packs are fine. That's DLC to me. Yeah,
and we like that. That was actually a lot of fun. And, you know, it's DLC kind of. It didn't add anything to the game besides you get to fight on a new map. And they were cheap, though. They were like $7, $8 maybe. Like, to me, that makes sense. They're giving you something that you can use in the game. It's everyone's getting it. As long as you buy it, you're good. You never have to pay for this thing again, and it's on your game. It's downloaded. Everything's fine. And a lot of games now, however, they do this cosmetic bullshit. Like Steven was saying, you can't change your hair without spending $2, which is horse shit. Because every other game in the world has always been, yeah, change whatever cosmetic shit you want. You own half of it and it's fine.
Well, and you could always change back and forth if, like, you are, like, you get the base shit when you get the game. And then if
they
you
essentially
change your hair color,
go into
you can
a
go back to the base skin. Yeah. It's just a cosmetic change. It's a costume change. But then, like, games like Dead or Alive 6 was like, no, fuck you. You don't own what you used to have, you stupid bitch.
It doesn't, and I get it. Like, technically, you don't own anything, right? If you buy a physical
everything's
copy of
licensed.
The game, that is what you own.
Yeah.
That physical copy of the game. Anything else, you do not own it. But still, there's got to be some kind of fair market out there to where if you buy something, you get that thing forever. Because if you don't, then people are going to stop buying shit. I feel, and Dead or Alive 6 probably did not do well on sales.
No, it did not do that great, no.
And that's
I think
why.
It was one of the lowest of the series.
Yeah, because and that's why. Why would anyone buy that fucking game if you have to pay for all your shit?
Well, and especially because like they have always had crazy amount of costume packs and stuff in a lot of those games because they always do like Halloween costumes of all the hot ladies and then nurse costumes of all the hot ladies.
Clad.
Yeah, yeah, which are fine.
How
Who
hot
cares?
Can we make
if
this
that,
hot lady?
If that gets you off, that gets you off. I'm proud of you. I support you, whatever.
I'm
like,
proud of
care.
You, whatever you do.
Like, I don't care. That doesn't bother me. But, like, when it makes you have to pay for every time you change anything, that gets a little too ridiculous and redundant. And the other thing I talk about, we talked about, like, predatory bad microtransactions. Loot boxes were the absolute worst and still are, in my opinion.
I mean, Overwatch, I think, was the one who started that, right?
Yeah, that
Overwatch
was like the main
the big,
day one, yeah.
Yeah, they had the big loot box stuff going on, I think.
Well, and Battlefront 2 was horrible.
That came out after.
I know, that was another horrible example.
Yeah, but I think Overwatch learned pretty quickly that people got pretty pissed off that they have to pay for loot boxes and then eventually just made them free.
Yeah, either that or you could earn them or like every game after all of that happened had to give you the percentage rolls you were going to have to get rare items and shit like that. So it's like you can buy this $5 box, but you have a 0.2% chance that you're going to get this mythic rare.
Yeah, you know, it's like Apex Legends right now. People fucking, like when it first came out, it was great. You could use your coins to buy the next battle pass. You only had to pay for one battle pass, which was awesome. Like cosmetics were cool enough that people wanted to spend some money on them. And then they just went ridiculous. Instead of making the cosmetic for sale, well, now you have to buy these 15 things and get these 22 items. And if you don't do that, you can't buy the best cosmetic that you want, you know?
That is a thing that even Smite did that was a little egregious, where they'd have these $100 bundles and you could only get this tier 5 skin if you got the $100 bundle.
Yeah.
But you have to buy all of it to get that one skin, even though that one skin probably only costs $20 and you're getting a shit ton of value for the rest of the set. That doesn't negate the fact that you're locking people out of it for such a huge price tag that's more than
what
most
if
people
nobody...
pay for a game.
What if one person really wants that skin but wants literally nothing else in that set? You know,
let
that's
them have
not,
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's just, it's one of those dumb things. Microtransactions have always been just the stupidest thing you could do if you do it wrong. Again, like doing it right, giving $1 deals here and there, honestly, you'll make more money from the $1 deals over time than you will from those $20 deals.
I mean, the biggest selling microtransaction for the longest time was just the fucking horse from, was it Morrowind or Skyrim or whatever, the first DLC. Like, it was a $3 horse armor that sold millions.
God damn. It was probably
ridiculous.
Morrowind then.
Yeah, I think it was Morrowind.
Yeah, it would make more
Oblivion.
Sense for Morrowind. Well, didn't Morrowind... It,
or
Morrowind
maybe it was
have,
Oblivion then. It was Oblivion.
I think it was
then.
Oblivion, because Morrowind Oblivion. Didn't have horses, I don't think.
Yeah. I think it was Oblivion. Because it was before Skyrim, but...
Yeah, Oblivion would make the most sense.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, well, that was microtransactions. We're kind of iffy on them. I think when done right, they're great. When done wrong, they're just the worst thing you could do to a game, and it will possibly ruin your entire fucking franchise.
But tell us your experiences with microtransactions. Do you think they're all bad? Do you think some are good? Are there some of microtransactions that you're super happy you got to make those purchases for? Are there some that you're just like, man, I regret making this purchase for? Tell us all. I want to hear it all.
Yeah, I want to hear the ones that got you prostitutes, too.
Oh,
I bought this $3 skin and it came with a prostitute later that night.
Yeah, if you found that game, let us all know.
That's a crazy deal. That's awesome.
All right.
No, what country are you in?
Oh. I'll wear a condom.
He did have AIDS, depending on
oh,
who
yeah, I mean, it could be. I mean, still, I'll wear a condom.
Yeah. All right.
AI companions, then.
Yep. Let's jump into AI companions. Go ahead and get us started. What do you got?
Yes. So obviously there's a lot of good. There's a lot of bad. There's beloved sidekicks in games like Elizabeth and BioShock. But then there's really bad ones like Ashley in Resident Evil 4, where it feels like babysitting. So let's just talk about kind of the goods and bads. And do we like them? Do we not like them? Do we like the immersion, or do we like playing games solo?
You know, it's weird about AI companions. Like, this is one of those weird things, right? So when I played Knights of the Old Republic, you can technically have AI companions. But the better thing about AI companions is instructing them what to do, which makes them not AI companions anymore.
Yeah. So I control every one of your movements still. But
yeah. So in Dragon Age, I would pause. You have a pause option in Dragon Age. Then you can pick everybody's move. Every single person's move.
Final Fantasy 15 had the same thing where, like, in combat, you could pause and pick everyone's moves and then they would all do it. But they all kind of act accordingly on their own in between those times.
And you do that, well, and there you just pause. There's no accordingly on their own.
Oh,
they
okay.
do that move and then they go for, like, a basic attack before you pause the next one. But, like, is that really an AI companion if you were having to do everything in battle for them? Because if you leave them to themselves, they die so fucking quick, and they use up all your heals, and they use up all your mana potions. Knights of the Old Republic, same thing. They die so quickly, but at least they were a tiny bit useful. So you'll get ones like that that are a lot of fun to use. Like, one's a little bit more, I don't know. You have some control of them, and then you'll get the ones like in Halo where you have random Marines following you, and they're just the most, they miss 90% of their shots, and they're most useless shit in the fucking world.
Am I helpful, Chief? They're over on the left. Yeah, I'm shooting.
Like, now, and it never got better in Halo, right? Because you go back to like Halo Reach where you have Spartan companions now where they're supposed to be the best of the best, and they're doing the same shit the fucking like random Space Marines were doing. So it's
come
just,
on, Noble Four.
Yeah,
come like, on, Emil.
It's one of the most annoying things in these games where you think like, oh, well, I'm so badass. Like they made me badass because I'm a Spartan, and the AI like regular people aren't as badass because they're not Spartans. That makes sense. Yeah, sure. But then you get to the Spartans, you're like, oh, now there's no fucking excuse. I'm not every time I play this game the best fucking Spartan.
No, it's crazy with a lot of those games, and like there's some really beloved AI characters. Like I said, Elizabeth in BioShock Infinite, great sidekick, always tossing new ammo, always giving more to the story, always like making combat more inventive. We got Dogmeat in Fallout, another great companion everyone loves. Atreus in God of War, phenomenal companion, and you do get to control some aspects of him and stuff like that. But again, he kind of just does act on his own. And some of those games, it's really great to have those AI companions, and I really think it does add to the immersion to it, and I think it can really be fun and beneficial. But if the AI ever feels like babysitting, like it does in the original Resident Evil 4, like with Ashley,
it always does.
Terrible.
It always does.
Almost always.
Mass Effect, you're basically just letting your people die nonstop because they can't do anything to help you ever. Like, they just die. That's it. So you're there doing all the work while your AIs do fucking nothing, but you know if you're controlling that character, you're fucking people up left and right. So, and that's a problem in my book. But like, I can't even think of a game where I really like what the AI did. Like, I can't think of a single game where I loved the AI interaction between the character. I love the way they battle during a fight. I love the way they spoke up in like a communication dialogue of some kind, right? There's just not a lot of good ones out there, unfortunately.
I will say there's way more bad ones than there are good ones. And the good ones are few and far between. They are sure.
Like all the games you mentioned, I didn't play any of those, so I don't know those companions. I don't know how good they are.
True.
God, I'm trying to even think of one fucking good one right now. What's a good AI companion that are, it's like at your fucking hip doing shit for you, and there's like, nothing that comes to mind.
The Far Cry animals, I think those are still like they. You do give them kind of commands like go attack that person, but yeah. I think they are because they do act on their own outside of that. Like if you send them into a group of five enemies and you say attack that one guy, he'll attack the other four too. So I do think like those kind of count. Those are great. I think Far Cry's AI animal companions are phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, you know, and what gets me about AI too, this is one thing that's bothered people forever. Let's say you're playing Halo and you switch it to the hardest difficulty. Now, the AI goes up in scope and practice of what they can do. They'll hit more headshots. They'll miss less shots in general. They'll have stronger shields. But your people have none of those benefits.
Seriously,
absolutely
though.
None of them. Like they get no boost in anything. And I'm like, God damn, can I get one fucking thing from having the hardest difficulty? I get it. It's like supposed to be a challenge for me. At the same time, I want to see some kick-ass Marines then in Halo if that's going to be the case.
Seriously, though, like it should buff all sides. It shouldn't just buff one side. Like it should make the game just more realistic. And I think
but
that's
it never
what, like,
does.
No, it never does. It makes it way
never
more
doesn't.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just, it's so fucking hard.
Yeah. I know, no, like, they can also really break the immersion of the game if they're glitching, if they're like running into walls or if they like, keep walking past and alert enemies. Like if you're doing a stealth section and they don't crouch behind you, they walk out and they get seen, and then all of a sudden you lose that whole section, have to start the whole section back over. Like they can really break and make the game super frustrating too, which always sucks. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, outside of maybe what's her name from it's that game you liked? No, Ellie. Yeah, so in the first Last of Us, I think you're hanging upside down, and all game you're like, man, I wish I had more ammo. Man, I wish I had... She's just throwing you stack after stack of ammo. There's that one part where she's useful, and that's about it in that game. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have to push her on a fucking board while in water?
She can't swim. That's part of her character trait.
Fuck her. Fuck her. Like, and the, like there's
there
that...
are some babysitting sections of that game, I will agree full.
Yeah, and they, you know, and that, it's just for humor, I think, mostly. It's for humor and like slight horror out there. But the, you know, the one time they're the most useful is when you're at your most vulnerable. And that seems to be the ticket to AI companions. Find the spot where you're most vulnerable, and that's where they're gonna be most useful.
Well, and there's a it was Dead Rising, the first Dead Rising. The AI companions in that were god awful to the point where it was almost not even fun to try to save people in that game because they were so beyond stupid. Like you would save them from a crowd of zombies and they would run into another crowd of 10 to 15 zombies. It was so bad that apparently in the remake they actually changed the AI of the other fellow survivors to be better.
You know, that brings to mind, I guess technically, God, what is that game called that I like? The zombie game.
Left 4 Dead?
No, the one we recently played in the last 6 months.
Not
State of Decay. The AI in State of Decay is actually not too bad, too. But they kind of exist off the stats you give them.
Yes.
So
and they kind of just are always doing stuff no matter what.
Yeah. So if they're really good at shooting as an AI, it's because you worked on them so much that they're shooting one on you. Know?
True.
Like, and I don't know, does that really count as AI involvement if you had to do all the work to make them that good?
Well, I mean, I feel like raising stats or like forcing them to train as like a leader of a community is a little, because you can also take control of any of those characters at any point, and the character you were controlling becomes an AI companion. So that's another thing that's really great about that game. Is that like you can do everything for any character and you can level them up individually.
Made the AI good. That's all that.
But I think that's really kind of a cool aspect of it, that you can kind of train the AI and you can train the characters themselves to do better. That way, when they're on their own, they're just beast.
They're not dying every three fucking seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's rough because, again, like it's hard to name good AI companions. Honestly, most games, I would be okay if they just take them out.
I think like games like Elden Ring with the Mimic Tears are.
I don't know what those are.
great. I'm sure so Mimic great. Tears in the game. So you can mix, you can do summons in the game, and summons can help you fight. They can help you in boss fights and certain aspects of the game, and you can just summon them a lot of times. It costs a certain amount of magic per summon based on their power. But there was a summon in the game called the Mimic Tear, which was, it literally made a copy of you. All the equipment you're wearing, the armor you're wearing, the stats you have.
This is another example where you're giving me an AI that you had to work your fucking ass off to make them good. Like, that's the problem. The best AI are the ones that you make good.
I mean, I agree with that. I don't deny that.
You know, that's the hardest part. It's just that, like, you'll never be able to do that with the Marines in Halo. You'll never be able to do it with Elizabeth and.
But I will say, like, at least for Elden Ring's specific case, like, when you're using the summons in that, your summons actually act on their own and they do all the combat themselves. So
good.
You don't control them whatsoever once you say summon.
Will they die faster than you?
It depends on who they're fighting and what they're using and how they fight them. Like, sometimes, like, you can, if you're a high enough level, you can actually sit down, like, actually have your character do the emote to sit and then watch your mimic just fuck the boss up. Like, it's fun sometimes. Like, you're like, oh shit, this AI is good enough that it can just beat the boss because I have a good enough build that it can just rip this boss in half. Like, that's fucking cool as shit. And that's where it's, like, really fun to me.
Okay, let's see, and I can see that. But again, it kind of devalues the fact of an AI companion because you want one that can kind of think for themselves.
Yeah, well, and that's like one that kind of does, because like I've actually had it where like I was holding a bow and a mage wand, and I only ever use my sword typically. But like I still have the other stuff in case I really need it in a certain situation. But then, like, I look at my AI, and he's over there, like, shooting spells, and I'm like, that's different than what I'm doing, at least. Like, it's getting the boss's attention more because you're doing higher bits of damage. So I'm actually, like, it's kind of aggroing for me to make it a little easier for me. And in certain aspects, I'm like, this is the most beneficial thing ever. And, like, Liza P, you can actually summon someone something, too. And you can actually heal your summon. Like, you can have this, like, rune box that during the battle, you can either make your summon have more power, you can make your summon heal, you can make your summon be more tanky, you can make your summon do other things. So there's, like, little things that you can, consumables that you can use during the battle called the wish box that you can, like, break, and it can do different enhancements to your summon. And that's even a really fucking cool thing. And the AI mechanics in that one are also extraordinary.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be cooler. You know, games do this thing where they tease end game stats at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
See, kind of like, oh, yeah, you can get to this point, which I kind of think is cool for some games.
Yeah.
Not for all. All games don't need that. But some of them, it's really cool to see where
you're... I love stats at the end.
Yeah, yeah. See, and you can see where you could be at, you know. Why don't they do that with AI companions? Like, why don't they start a game out with, like, you're a rookie novice on this, like, new add-a-fucking-thing-there, knights or marines or something, and you suck, and you're just watching, like, you're getting beaten left and right, and your AI companions are fucking up the enemy. Like, they cannot be stopped, and one of them just looks at you and says, don't worry, Rook, you're going to be like us one day, too. You know, that would be a sweet fucking, like,
that's
kind of
hilarious,
tease into
it.
I think that would be a cool way to use AI companions.
That leads me to another thing that I think kind of frustrates me sometimes with, especially like games like Elden Ring and Liza P, is when they steal your kill. Like, when you're in the middle of a boss fight and you've been fighting this boss, you've fought it 20 times with your mimic or your summon even, and you're like, man, I've never even gotten him down to half. And then you finally get him down, you're like about ready to hit him that last hit, and your fucking summon, your AI companion, steals that kill. You're like, you motherfucker, you fucked yourself. I worked
well,
for this
I mean,
shit.
It's kind of like you doing it. It's just a fucking mirror of you.
It never feels like it's you, dude. It always feels like you're fucking getting scammed and you just got ripped off and you didn't earn that victory. It always feels so bad. My wife feels the same way. We laugh so hard at it every time. Like, we always laugh about that. We, even when we play with each other, we always go for that last hit, and we always like cuss each other out. Like, fuck you! I wanted to hit him.
I wanted to punch him in his dick today.
I'm sorry. I wanted to make sure we won.
You suck so bad, I have to do it.
Not that bad. But...
No, she sucks, bruh. She sucks.
Actually, it's pretty great at it.
No, she sucks.
She's pretty good at some. Oh, she's pretty decent.
No, you suck then.
I suck at platforming. That's
you
not
suck
a question.
So bad, it's making her look good.
Sometimes.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, again, I think I'd be okay if we stopped doing AI companions. Like, you can still have a companion person. You know, we played a game, the stupid, like, Journey to the West game. I can't remember what it's called.
Odyssey.
Odyssey?
It's...
Yeah, something like
Enslaved,
that.
Enslaved, Odyssey. Enslaved.
Yeah, Enslaved. Yeah. Enslaved, yeah. Which was really good. And you did have a companion who was like talking to you, but that companion never traveled with you.
She never
anything.
Like fought with you. She always just like was there for cutscenes.
Which was perfect. Like, and she was there for like weird stuff too. You
for
could
being
use
hot.
Her to like Yeah. But it was a good idea of them to have her there as a emotional character, as a comic relief character, someone who was there on the side saying things but not being like actively part of your like actual video game journey. And that was a cool AI companion because you don't have to rely on them for anything. You're not babysitting them for anything. You're not like, you don't get mad when they don't do something right. So, I mean, that would be a great way for them to keep doing it, but adding them in where they have equal say in things that you do is probably not the best idea.
I think in games where it's like you and one other person, a lot of times AI companions aren't great.
Yeah.
I think in games where it's really difficult combat, like I was saying with Elden Ring and Eliza P, those games are special cases where those are really there for people, especially for people who struggle with the game. Those are great mechanics to help. And even the creator of the game says he uses them because it's the only way he could beat the game. So it's really fun in those aspects, but I think in like terms of like giant scale stuff, like unless you're playing like a Age of Empires game, like almost everything and that's just AI,
yeah,
stuff that you're just like fight and they just fight and it's kind of like risk rolling the dice to see if they win or not. but like a lot of games like that, that's totally fine. You don't think about it, but you think about it really in the times where it's bad. And I just really like, we've gotten to a point in games where I'm like, why is there still bad AI systems? Why is there still a bad AI character that feels like babysitting? Why are they glitching so much, running into walls? Why are they so bad at alerting enemies? Why do they aren't helpful at all? So like especially going back and playing a lot of old games, like we've been playing a lot lately, some of the really older AI systems were terrible. And every one of those feels like you're babysitting. Every single fucking one feels like you're babysitting.
Yeah. And like, there's a good way to do AI companions, but most people don't want to do it that way. So, and I think for some games too, like having an AI companion can kind of shift a little bit. Like, I remember when I was a kid, I'd play Mass Effect by myself. And Mass Effect isn't by any means a scary game, but it can be when you're not ready for some of the jumps that come out.
Fair.
And, like, hearing the random voices in the background have a conversation with one another was nice, because it makes you feel like you're not alone in the game.
True. Yeah.
You know, I will say that. There is a place, too, for that, where maybe it's just for companionship for you as a person playing that game alone. So... You could look at it that way, but other than that way, there's no point to them.
Yeah. That's pretty much all I have to say. Is it anything else you want to say on the topic?
That's it for me.
Yeah. So I just want to say...
I guess really fast, we should talk about the AI companions in Baldur's Gate 3. Yes, they're technically AI companions. Yes, they just follow you around and say things, but you control literally every other fucking thing they do. So we do not...
And they're all scripted. Like, that's the other thing, too. Yeah. A lot of AIs that's really, like, scripted events, I don't really consider them to be AI because it was a whole scripted story, not like they were acting and partially from the story. I'm really talking about the AI companions that, like, in those moments,
they're scripted still, but
they're scripted based off of you, or they're scripted based off of your movements, or they're scripted based off of, like, certain events.
If monster guy comes at you with forward lunge attack, 30% chance you're going
to
move left, 20% right, 50% chance you're going to get hit. You know, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. So stuff like that. But yeah, it's really funny how both microtransactions and AI companions both come down to balance, I think. Done right, they enhance a game, but done wrong, they make you want to uninstall the game. They're just terrible when they're bad. So
and they're ugly.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you really have to do it just right, and it's really hard to know what that is. I was wondering how long you're going to keep going. I was like, I can't keep a straight face any longer.
And well, what's the term from Stranger Things? Or mouth breathers? Fucking mouth breathers.
I forgot about that. I've only watched up to season 3, I think. So
I'm rewatching it all because season 5 is about to come out, and I just love that show so much.
It was one of those things really repetitive after every season, after a while.
A little bit, but it's still it's awesome. It's great. Season 4 was just way too much for me, though. God damn, that was so dark.
Fair.
It's dark. It's super
dark, but that one seemed like the most interesting because of the villain for me, but yeah.
Vecna.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the first season a shit ton, but...
Yeah. All right. Well, that was it. That was our go-to. Sorry, I interrupted a spiel.
Yeah, you're good.
A lot of comments about AI and how fat and ugly they are.
They can be fat and ugly. They can be. Mm-hmm.
All of them are. They just are.
What you buying? What you selling?
So, yeah, that was our hot takes this week. Hope you guys enjoyed that. You know, check us out on all the socials, TikTok, Instagram, other stuff that I don't use. I don't use any.
Go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get podcasts. That's mainly where we're at. Just go over there first.
Yep. And then if you want to reach out, soulofagamerpodcast@gmail.com, shoot us an email. We'll probably answer you back. We check it every day.
Yes, we do.
All right, guys.
Bye.
We'll see you on the next one. Bye. No.